Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good for us to be here. We thank God that we're able to come to you one more time with Truth Ministry. So it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. And thank God for the wisdom of God that we're able to impart out of the Word of the Lord. And so we'd like to welcome everyone, our Facebook friends and followers, our LinkedIn connections and followers, our Blog Talk friends and followers, and our Twitter listeners and followers. Thank God for you tuning in to Truth Ministry. So we've been talking about word power for the last 10 weeks that we've been talking. And so, our theme is the Godhead. And should you desire to call in, you can call 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So, we're grateful. On our lessons that we've been having, we talked about the crucifixion on last week. We've been talking about miracles, all kinds of things about in this episode of Word Power, knowing that Jesus' word was with power, and it is all about Jesus. That's what the gospel is all about, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the sending back of the Holy Ghost, the catching away or rapturing away the church, the dead in Christ, and we that are alive and remain being caught up together with the Lord to meet in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then also the coming back after 7 years, He's going to marry the bride of Christ. We're going to come back and reign with Him 1,000 years. He's going to come back and step His foot in the Mount of Olives. It's going to be 1,000 years of peace. So just so much that the gospel encompasses. And so it is good news that He died and rose and was buried and rose again the third day. And then also the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost, knowing after His resurrection He was on the earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He went back to heaven. 10 days later, He sent back the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was called day of Pentecost. And so Pentecost is not in a denomination or a religion, as some would call it, but in actuality, Pentecost is a day. That's what it's, you know, we know the Pentecostal experience is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives you to utter. But actually, the apostolic church was born on the day of Pentecost. So Pentecost, it means 50th. It's the 50th day after the Passover. So we've been talking about the Passover, the crucifixion, those different things in our series on word power in previous weeks. So today we come to the resurrection of Jesus. That's mostly one of the most important events that has ever happened. We know that he came to give his life, and you know, he was a lamb. John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So the lamb came to give his life. So he's carrying lambs, like somebody said in the Old Testament, he's carrying lambs in his bosom. Now, you know, the prophet Isaiah, but he's going to come back to fight. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So we see so many things are happening in the land, the violence and pestilence, which is diseases, all these things. The scripture is being fulfilled. There is no other sign to take place before the appearing or the catching away of the bride in Christ. So it shows you how close that we are. And also, we were in the book of the Revelation some months back. But now we can see in the 13th chapter of Revelation, how you can't buy or sell save you have the mark or the number or the name of the beast. And so we can see, look at all this technology, what is going on now, and how people are marveling at this technology, especially with the Apple, you know, Apple Pay. Is one of the latest things that is they're implementing right now. You know, it's in its infancy, but it's supposed to be secure and everything. And then people are the markings, which are tattoos, and people are getting very comfortable with that. Then also the Vero chip, which has been some years ago. They said that the only place they could put it was in your forehead or your forearm. Revelation, the 13th chapter, is exactly what it's talking about. Your forehead, which is your eye, and it's the size of a grain of rice, or in your forearm. You got to have that mark to buy or sell. So if you do that, then you sold yourself to the beast. And you doomed to go to the lake of fire if you do that. You're going to have to give your head if you want to be saved. And actually, even kind of go along with the lesson on today, to be able to be in the resurrection, because the resurrection also has more than one part. It has seven parts. Those people are got to be beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So fellow servants, John said in the book of the Revelation, so much in there that his fellow brethren, they got to be killed. So they got to, you know, they're going to be before, they're not going to be in the bride of Christ, but they're going to be before the sea of glass or before the throne. The bride is going to be in the throne, the bride of Christ, which is his bride, Jesus's bride, who is the church. So we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so this is the quote that the apostle wrote to the church at Ephesus, as we emphasize. These people were already saved. That's what's so important. You got to have the new birth. And so it was revealed to men. God's not going to break his order. He has sent angel to Cornelius. He sent people to tell others, you got to go see a man. So God has committed this ministry into the hands of men. Angels can't tell you what to do. They're going to go tell you to go to a man, to a human being who shall tell you what you ought to do to be saved. So, like I've said, try to emphasize, in the Gospels, he's calling people out. Remember, when Jesus came, they were still under the law. And he used the quote, he used the phrase, it hath been said, but I say. So this is why he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He could do what he will. And then, you know, they were so caught up in days and all. Just like he said, if you have an ox that get out or whatever and fall in the ditch, you're going to worry about what day it is to get him out. So he was saying Sabbath wasn't made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. So nowadays, the Sabbath is not, some people are ignorant. They'll read a scripture, and some people have started the going to church on Saturdays. That Saturday is not the Sabbath. The Sabbath really is a Jew. It's for the Jews is what it is. So God is going to institute these things in the world to come. He's going to reinstitute it when he raises up Israel. He cast them away which he foreknew, but he's going to bring them. They're the olive tree. He's going to bring them back in. We've been grafted in. We are the olive tree. We've been grafted in. Israel, he's not going to change his mind. That's why the Bible says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He called Israel. He gave Israel the oracles of God, and he's not going to repent. He's not going to change his mind. That's what that means, Romans 11 and 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God is not going to change his mind about Israel. So, actually, the first day of the week, if you understand the calendar, we got to go by our calendar. The first day of the week is actually, in our calendar, Sunday. That's why they have church on Sunday. That is the first day of the week, so-called all these other days. And then, actually, in reality, every day, we esteem every day alike. So, a lot of businesses and people's jobs, depending on what private sector that they work for, some don't have to work on Sundays. So most people, the majority of people have a Sunday off, except for it depends if you are what kind of employee you are. You could be a service employee. You may have to work. It all depends on what your occupation is in the marketplace. But Sunday is not the Sabbath, is the point. Sunday is the first day of the week. So there is no Sabbath, really, right now. Not for us, but it is for the Jews. So you got to know that. So wisdom is the principal thing, the writer says in Proverbs. Therefore, get wisdom, and he goes on to say, and in all thy getting, get understanding. So you got to have understanding, or you know nothing at all if you don't have understanding. So I think a good place to start, we have accounts of the resurrection in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have accounts of the resurrection in all the Gospels. But I think the good place to start today with the resurrection is in the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, because they had questions about the resurrection. So this is just, it makes it so very plain to do this, and then we may just have another part on we'll just see how it goes as in the interest of time. But so we know we talked about Jesus was delivered into the hands of sinners, and the Romans, they came and got him. We know the Jews would stone you to death, and the Romans will crucify you. So we know on last week he was delivered into their hands. They came and got him. He was condemned to death, and they could have released Barabbas, who was the robber, but thank God they didn't. They could have kept him, because Jesus, there was no fault in him at all. So if morally speaking, Barabbas should have been the one to be released. Jesus should have been the one to be released, I'm sorry, because he had done no wrong. But that is not the way that it was supposed to go anyway. Now, Barabbas was a robber. They let him go. They condemned Jesus. They played right into the hands of the plan, because that's why he came, to give his life a ransom for many. He came, he said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life. 1 John 3:16. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So thank God, no cross, no crown. So we know how we read last week how they condemned him. They put a purple robe on him. They put a crown of thorns. I mean, what an insult. That's just like the devil, to do something so stupid that, you know, that's no honor, a crown of thorns. I mean, that's ridiculous, but that's okay. He's going to be paid back. So then he goes on to hear Apostle Paul here. Remember now, and it's all about Jesus. So that is why I like to say, like today, you got all kinds of people on TV talking about sowing a seed and all this foolishness, which is stupidity, because God just requires the tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. You can give, but as you can't bribe God. You can't buy a blessing. That is just ignorance, and people don't know any better. All these so-called prophets on there just speaking good words, you know, to tell people it's their day and all that. It ain't our day. That's stupidity. It's you better get right is what it's time to get out of here. That's what time it is. You know, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear, and truly we can see that even with this latest epidemic disease, Ebola. I mean, it's, you know, that's, remember when the swine flu, everybody was lined up to get flu shots? Now you don't hear nothing hardly about that at all, not that much. So now they're focusing on all of these, you know, it's like everybody's poison. You got to get put on all this protective gear, you know, because of like a person is just a germ. So it's just crazy. But that's plagues and pestilence and all these things, which the scripture talks about. So anyway, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. So this is in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. He's talking to the Corinthian church. So he goes on here, I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And so I like that. He died for our sins. So it's amazing how you get these smooth-talking preachers, so-called, on TV, and they talk all of this, and then it's amazing. I mean, God didn't make one man or one woman no important than the other, and people come up with all this blessing, highly favored. No, the church was accepted in the beloved. Ain't no special this, and this person is special and all that. That's ridiculous. I mean, God don't love
the leaders more than he loves anybody else. He loves everyone equally. The church is his bride, who he's going to marry, his espoused bride. He loves everyone. So ain't no such thing as I'm blessed and highly favored, and favor ain't fair and all that. That's just that's these cliches and all this foolishness. That sounds good, but that's not it. You know, no one is better than nobody else. We all have the privilege to come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You got to know what the word says. That's why the love of many going to wax cold. You realize who you are, and you're not going to be bamboozled and looked down on. Like, God didn't die. He didn't give his life for folks to be riding around and hustling and pimping the children of God. He didn't do that. I mean, you work. You could buy whatever you want, live whatever you want. But the point being is, for people act like they are kings. No, there's only one king, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the king. The rest of us are dumb sheep. I want to put it plainly. That's what we are. So no one is better than no one else. And then I like to say, you could get in that word for yourself. Of course, the ministry, your local church, the pastor is the teacher. There's a fourfold ministry. There's no comma between pastors and teachers. Anybody that knows English. And so the pastor is the teacher in the local assembly. Fourfold ministry is in the church for the perfecting of the church, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is the head of all things, even Christ. That word grow up means, he said, a perfect man. Perfection is maturity. It's what that means. So you can get in this word, then the only thing will happen. You get in here, it's going to be confirmed through the man or the woman of God at your local church. You can get in here and know what it says for yourself. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is, right here. Ain't no speak a word into your life. The word has already gone out of God's mouth. It's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the thing he sent it and prosper in that which I please, saith the Lord. That's what he's talking about in Isaiah 55th chapter. Not talking about somebody sowing money. That's actually talking about snow and rain, the seed of a farmer, bread to the eater, literally bread that's grown because wheat grows. You can eat naturally. Not talking about money. That's the people are greedy, what the Bible calls a filthy lucre. And he said, don't be that way. You know, bishops shouldn't be. You should be apt to teach, not greedy or filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is money. So anyway, it goes on here to say that, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. So even great as the Apostle Paul was, he received this too, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the resurrection, to rise again, to resurrect, which means anastasis, means raising up or rising up, caused to stand. So that means he got up from the dead, to bring back to life, is what that literally means. And so in that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture, that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, and he was seen of the other, then of the other 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Who was Jesus? He is the theme. He is the focus of the Bible. We have made men so important. And so we go on here, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, this is during the time when he wrote to the Corinthian church. He'd fallen asleep, he mean they died. And so I come to serve you. Notice people, too many times, they should quit this foolishness at these funerals talking about people in heaven and they looking down on us. Ain't nobody looking down on you. Ain't nobody in heaven. Only one man, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. Moses was buried. Everybody else, if you die, you are buried. That is why there is going to be a resurrection. Resurrection from the dead. Going to be a resurrection. Ain't nobody in heaven looking down on nobody. You're dead. You're there with your body. You're going to redeem us from the power of the grave. You know, Hades, hell, as we say it, that is the grave. So there's no one in the lake of fire yet either. People got to be judged. So they're going to be awakened out of their sleep. If you're not saved, everyone, whether you, if you're saved, if you're in Christ or alive in Christ, the point being you got to be baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Like we've always said, you got to be water baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. That's being born of water and of Spirit. That's the new birth. But if you die without him, you're in a state of unconsciousness. Two, you're asleep. You're in a state of unconsciousness. You got to be resurrected from the dead. You're just not going to get up in the first resurrection. You're going to get up in the second resurrection. And you don't want to do that. You want to be in the first resurrection. That's why you want to be born again. So he says, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. This apostle Paul, writing to the church at the Corinthian church. So he says, I am the least of the apostles, that I am meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He's talking about the apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Were I or they. So preach, so we preach, and so ye believe. Believe the gospel. Don't believe the man. Sure, we can be, and that's how people are. We can love a person so much we almost believe anything they say, but God made everyone as an individual. Everyone has their own personality. Love what the person is saying. Love the truth that is coming out of that person's mouth. And that is the way it was with our Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. Yeah, they looked, they you know, marveled at things that he said. And so, and then that's why we're saying word power. And that's why even the scripture says where the word of a king is, there is power. So we go on here. So he says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. So Apostle Paul said it was born out of due season, because one of the things that's so important in the book of the Revelation, the 12 foundations, they're the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There are only 12 apostles. Incidentally, this is one thing God had. Only men were apostles, and it was only 12 apostles. One of the signs, and to be an apostle, you had to see the Lord. You had to be taught by the Lord personally to be an apostle. Those two things, for sure. You had to see the Lord. You had to be taught by the Lord, and then they died a horrible death. This is why Apostle Paul said, "Last of all, he was seen of me. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty, things that he'd done." So he showed himself to the Apostle Paul. So that's why he said, "Last of all, he was seen of me." So what am I saying? I've even posted the scriptures before. More than a year ago, I put them on Facebook. There are no apostles today. There are no apostles. They are all dead. And then one of the last things about the apostles, they died a horrible death. Every last one of them, except for John. He got boiling oil. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in an isle called Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the word of God. He had to be there so he could write
the Revelation, the beginning of the church age, all the way to the end, is what the Apostle John done. But Paul was one, after Judas fell by transgression, his bowels burst out asunder, they cast lots, and they chose Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. But then you don't hear anything about him. So actually, even during the earthly ministry, during the early church, Barnabas, there were others, but there are only 12 apostles of the Lamb. So there are no apostles nowadays. So, and then not only that, so you had to be an eyewitness, you had to be taught by the Lord, and then their job was to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scriptures. This is a job of an apostle. That's why Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. So we're building upon the foundation that the apostles already laid, Ephesians 2 and 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So like I've said in subsequent weeks and lessons, that they didn't preach Jesus out of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wrote them. They wrote the scriptures. But they preached Jesus out of the law of Moses. They preached Jesus out of the Psalms, and they preached Jesus out of the prophets. That is, out of the Old Testament, they wrote the law of Moses. He said, if you would have known Moses, you would have known me. Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees one time, you would have known Moses, you would have known me, because he wrote of me. So this is where they preach Jesus, out of the prophets, out of the law, out of the prophets, and out of the Psalms. So as we go on here, because we are talking about the resurrection. So he goes on here to say, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. Remember now, that's getting up from the dead. That's the resurrection. Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. I'll say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. Why would you say that? So he's setting them straight. But if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are all found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So he's letting them know. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Remember what I said about the dead? They're in a state of unconsciousness. When you're asleep, you're close to being dead as you could be when you are asleep. There are stages of sleep. There's a deep sleep that you could be in. There's a soft sleep. There's stages of sleep. There's one stage, the deep sleep, you are closest. Have died in their sleep. They just slept away. So the dead are asleep. The dead in Christ are asleep, and the dead, period, are in a state of unconsciousness. So he says, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. What do you mean? We're going to see that as we move on here. So he says, in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man after his order, Christ the first fruits afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. So then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now you've probably heard me make that quote before. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so this is why you got to understand the subject that we're talking about the Godhead. Ain't no Trinity. That's foolishness. The devil knows that there's one God. James 2 and 18, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil knows not three, he knows not two, but he knows one. You remember during Jesus' earthly ministry when he came on the scene, people that were possessed with devils, they say, We know thee, talking to Jesus, we know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? He would tell them to hold their peace, and he would come out of him. He cast the devils out. So they knew who he was. They knew that he was very Christ. He would tell people to hold their peace, that they should not make him known. So he revealed himself as it was time for him to reveal himself. And so that's why he is called Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. He shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Isaiah 7 and 14, behold, the Lord shall give you, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You know, the virgin shall be with child and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So the God of creation actually came into the world that he made. Emmanuel visited his own temple. He came in fashion as a man. In the second chapter of Philippians, you read it. Humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him at that at the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You go back in the book of Isaiah, the Lord says, every knee shall bow unto me, and every tongue shall confess. Paul got the revelation in the New Testament, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess to the name of Jesus, because it is salvation, it is the Lord himself. He prepared him a body. You read in the book of Psalms, the 40th Psalm and the 10th chapter of Hebrews, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. And this is God himself. He came in the volume of the book. It said, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. That's why he stepped on a cloud and was, you imagine, you can't live. If you could get out of the window of an airplane at 30 to 35,000 feet, I'm told, that's about 8 miles high. Between 30 and 35,000 feet is 8 miles high in the air. If you was to get out of a plane, if you could get out of the window and get out, you'd die. He stepped on a cloud. He descended first into the lower parts. The writer says in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, what is it? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. They're talking about Jesus. I got a question. How far is far above? He did it. One man stepped on a cloud because he was God himself. That's the only way he could do that. So as we go on here, so he says, so since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man after his order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards them that are Christ at his coming. So we had read this. So he's going to reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And then so we go on here. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Just because he became a man, he didn't stop being God. He can never be what he is not, but when he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was and never ceased to be. He's always God. So we go on here, and so he says, elsewhere they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all, why are then they baptized for the dead? He's asking the question. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Remember what I said? So if you don't have knowledge, remember back in the Old Testament, the book of Hosea, says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if you don't have knowledge, you are ignorant. If you don't have knowledge, you're ignorant of a thing. Don't nobody know everything? And so even like the stock market, all this stuff, all of these different stocks and all this stuff, all this complicated stuff, and they did a thing on 60 Minutes one time, all the computers and everything they got, how fast all of this stuff operates. Man has created all of this stuff. But even like after the so-called financial meltdown in 08, when people's 401ks, we call it, tanked, but one thing is for certain, no money left the earth. The money is still here. Somebody got the money. So greedy men. And I'm told that some of these rich folks, they have trillions of dollars overseas out of circulation. See, remember now, that's why they're going to be so mad at God during the tribulation period when he brings down all these ports and all of these things he's going to bring down. You ain't going to make no more money, no more merchant. You're not going to, no more at all. You know, they're going to realize it's God that bringing them down, because you got to realize a statement that I want you to know, that I remind people of in the book of Matthew, that Jesus made during his earthly ministry. And oh yes, for sure it is true. And that is, he said, no man can serve two masters. You hate one and cleave to the other. You hold to one and despise the other. And he went on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. So you got to understand that money, the love of money, is the root evil. So that's what people are so caught up in. They want to be ignorant of that. They're ignorant of a lot of other things. So he goes on here, wake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? See, this is so important too. And so he goes on, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That word quicken means made alive. So that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, if by chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of men, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, one star different from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So you know what that is. The last Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Adam was made in the image of God. So he made all things after the image of himself. So Jesus is the image. Image is an image. That's what it is. It is not the person. It's the image of the person. If you're looking at a person's picture, you're looking at an image of the person. That's not them. That's their image. So we go on here
And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And albeit that which is that which is spiritual, that which was not first, which is spiritual, I'm sorry, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. There it is again. Adam and Jesus Christ. First man is of the earth, earthly. That was Adam. Second man is the Lord from heaven, as Jesus Christ. As is the earthly, so are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image, notice now, the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. Now you've probably heard this quote here, behold, I show you a mystery. And you know what? A mystery is a hidden truth. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now notice now, he's talking to people that are alive, who are reading this, preaching to, we're reading it now, in the Corinthian church. He literally was teaching this to them. So we're not going to all sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. That's quicker than you can bat your eye. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice what he said. The dead's going to be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the people who are alive. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? O, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So this is the account. This is, he explains it, he breaks it down in the book of 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church. Now, so we have, remember there's only one gospel, there's four gospel writers. And so we have four accounts of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So Matthew's account. Now Matthew, now remember, he was a Jew. He wrote to the Jews. So the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the dead and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. So you imagine that? See, God knows all things, and God has messengers. And so they were angels. Remember now, the gospel wasn't established. So he had to be raised from the dead. He had to get up from the dead. So the eternal spirit. So God didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. So he had to get up from the dead. He was the first fruits of them that slept, as we just read in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. So we go on here, and so for fear of, they became as dead men, the keepers, the so-called soldiers supposed to be watching. The angel answered and said and other women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. So they held their hands up. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, but go tell my brethren that I go into Galilee, and there shall ye see me. So we know here, now when they were gone, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. And when they had assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel and gave them large sums of money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye to his disciples came by night where we slept, and if you come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. That is, at that time, that was a big lie. They know it was, and the devil is a liar. He is still lying, even after his resurrection. And he's still lying, even unto this day. And like I said, these false preachers, so-called false prophets on TV, lying to you about sowing a seed. And I don't care. I'm going to tell it, because that is a lie. You can't buy a blessing. Yeah, that's foolishness. That is foolishness. And so here we go on. We have the account of Mark. And we know our time is just about gone on today. So very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. See, so that the angels rolled it away for them to get in, not for Jesus to get out, but for the women. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus, but he was already gone. Entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were frightened. He said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where the Lord lay. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he go before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. Everybody's saying the same thing. They went quickly and fled from the sepulchre. I would have been running. For they trembled and were amazed. Neither said there anything to any man, for they were afraid. This never happened before. Somebody got up from the dead on their own volition. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. Now, this is Mark's account. And when she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. So they didn't believe Mary Magdalene, the one he cast seven devils out. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked, went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. They didn't believe. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So this, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So this is Mark's account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we go on to Luke, so we're just trying to fly on through here. Now we know our time is gone. So the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices they had appeared that they had prepared, and certain others with them. So see, and then so about the stone being rolled away. And so anyway, it came to pass, they were much perplexed thereabout, when they didn't find Jesus. They were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said among them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet alive, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them told these things unto the apostles. Their words seemed as idle tales. They believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, stooping down and beheld the linen clothing laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at what was come to pass. So anyway, so they thought that Jesus was the gardener here, because our time is almost gone here. And so as they were walking and talking, they didn't even know it was Jesus. He drew near unto them certain of them which were with us. It was Jesus. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found as the women had said, but they saw him, they saw not. Talking about Jesus. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of hearts, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, all that Christ have suffered these things, and entered into his glory. So we're going to stop right there because our time is gone, and we'll just pick it up again on next week. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.